pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And as the praise and worship was going on, the question was ringing in my heart that, Lord, tell me what you want, I will do it. What can move your heart? And I pray that this morning you will open our hearts to see you and also to ask Jesus that question, what can move your heart, Lord? Is it fragrance what can move your heart? Is it a song of praise what can move your heart? Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus and want to bring greetings from Uganda. Uganda is ready for you. You are most welcome. But I also want to bring greetings from my wife. I talked to her this morning, and my entire family, they were having lunch together. My two new daughter-in-laws and the entire family, they sent their greetings. I also bring greetings from Rwentobo, where we normally have our convention, but where we have our school, the school is going on. We are going to go for break, for Easter break. This visit, I came as an advocate for children. There are so many desperate children. Our numbers have increased. We now have 710 children in the school, and they desperately need your help. So the whole of this visit, I was raising sponsorship for them. And I'd like to request you on their behalf, if you can sponsor a child, please do so. I have about 30 children that are very desperate, that need sponsorship. $35 a month can help this child to live in the school, eat all the meals a day, enjoy the peace and security that is in the school, get every scholastic material. So I'd like you to help these children. You can sponsor them as a church, as a cathedral, or you can sponsor them as a group, putting yourselves together, or you can sponsor them as a family, or as an individual. If you sponsor children, then our nation will rise and shine again. Because my business is to reach them, my business is to raise them, my business is to release them when they are 18 into the marketplace to change Uganda for Christ. And we want also to get them out of poverty. And so we have 110 Muslim children, the rest are Christians, other families. Some of them come from very difficult families of witch doctors. Others come from drunken homes. But we feel that our impact on them is going to create a new generation that is going to create a Christian culture that will turn Uganda upside down. We have lived under the culture of those who grew up during the time of Idi Amin. So we are now trying to raise another generation. So my heartbeat, as the bishop was talking, my heartbeat is to prepare the next generation that will turn Africa upside down. And I want to share with you this morning Psalms 23. And I'm glad I am reading the bishop's Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. And he leads me through the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Although you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows, and surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And everybody say, amen. Amen. This morning I want to really talk about what do you do when you are in the valley. And I was surprised that the choir this morning was singing about the shadows. That was very, very, very prophetic. That what I want to talk about, the praise and worship today, they have talked about it in all the songs they were singing. That is what we call divine appointment. Because I never talked to them, I never told them what I was going to preach about, but it was great. So the shepherd David penned down one of the most famous lines in all of Scripture in chapter 23, Psalms 23, verse 6. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When you hear that, you are frightened. But he said, I will fear no evil. Shout it loudly. I will fear no evil. And the question is, why will you not fear evil? He says, for you are with me. Shout it again. You are with me. And he said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we have so many shadows, dark valleys, but this verse promises that the shepherd will be with us. Amen. The shepherd David, whom all of you know, he wrote that verse, and it was very, very, very important. The only way to get the sheep from the low ground up to the high ground was and still is to go through valleys and gorges that are common in Palestine and also in my district of Kabale in Uganda, because it is also mountainous. I want to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, that valleys are impartial. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are young or old, whether you are a bishop or lay, all of us go through valleys. Valleys are like death. All of us, it is impartial. But also valleys are inevitable. You cannot run away. When we thought that America was becoming a very powerful superpower, the economy was rising, going so hard, and President Trump was saying, yes, the economy is coming up, and from nowhere, a virus from China came in. And this nation I was watching on television, it went through a big valley. In this psalm, the better translation of this valley is dark valley. Some translations say valley of deep darkness. So the valley of deep darkness is not just about death. It is about all the trials in life when, for a reason, the shadows overtake the light. And I have gone through many valleys. I have so many testimonies of how God has brought me out of these valleys. So every one of you will go through the valley of the deep darkness somewhere. And often, more than once or twice, I have been in deep valleys many times. So even the most obedient sheep of the shepherd still have to go through the valley. So the valley is not for only terrible sheep, dangerous sheep, stubborn sheep. Even if the sheep is very obedient to the shepherd, it will have to go through the valley. And there are dark valleys of financial meltdown, dark valleys of marriage meltdown. I was in Boston, I was in California, I was in Washington, D.C., trying to mend the marriages of Africans in diaspora. Ugandans, when they come here, their marriages have broken down so badly. So you may be in a marriage meltdown. Drugs and alcohol have become a very deep valley for many people. Sickness and pain, unemployment, rejection, abandonment, stress, depression, and America, you have also been in a political dark valley during these years. I think America is more divided than it has ever been before. Dark valleys of spiritual problems, dark valleys of loneliness, dark valleys of sexual identity crisis that many nations are now going through, dark valleys of abuse of all kinds. There are many dark valleys. But the good news is that the shepherd promised to be with us. Amen. Amen. Tell somebody near you, the shepherd promised to go with us. The shepherd promised to go with us. The valleys are there. They have different levels, but the shepherd promised us that I will never leave you. Shout it loudly with your fingers. I will never leave you. So when you are in the valley, as long as the shepherd is with you, you'll go through this valley. So as I have said, valleys are impartial and inevitable. Just before David talked about the valley, he wrote in this psalm, "He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake," in verse 3. Then he changes his voice, verse 4. He then went on to say that sometimes that means going through a dark valley, on verse 4. And the Bible does not say count it joy if you encounter trials, but count it all joy. The word all joy when you encounter trials in James chapter 1, verse 2. So whether they come as a result of this sin-sick creation, whether they come out of wilderness experience, whatever these valleys come for, but they are good for us. They are also purposeful. The shepherd was talking to the sheep. He was taking the sheep to a better place, but they had to go through the valley. Our shepherd is leading us to a place of refined faith and cultivated usefulness, where we reflect his image more clearly, because all of you know that Jesus, our chief shepherd, also went through the valley. Peter's testimony is a very good testimony if you read the book of 1 Peter. James and all the heroes of faith in Hebrews, they all went through valleys. Faith is not immune to trials. It is fueled by trials, my brothers and sisters. And so if you are here this morning and you are going through a certain valley, I want to give you some practical advice from my own life experience. First, if you are in the valley, what do? You must come out of your box and draw close to the shepherd. Draw close to the shepherd. Shout it loudly again. Draw close to the shepherd. So you need to come out of every box where the devil has put you and draw closer to the shepherd in the valley. The shepherd is not a long distance guide. He's closer. He enters the shadows with us. And I was so happy that the song we sang was saying, "The shadows around me will go away." And can use those shadows moments to draw us closer to him. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2-3. It says, "When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you." Say amen. Amen. It goes on to say, "When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown." Say amen. Amen. "When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Isaiah 43, verses 2-3. Give a big hand clap to Jesus. So, he brings in these two very dangerous things. When you go through the waters, you are not going to drown. The waters may be easy for you, Americans, because you know how to swim. But then he goes on a little bit higher. When you go through the fire, because he knows Americans are afraid of fires. I look at the fires, burning forests, burning houses. If it is water, you may swim, or your dog can come and help you from drowning. But when it is fire, he said, "For I am the Lord your God. I will be with you." Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So the enemy loves, I was talking to the bishop, we were talking about lies. The enemy loves to whisper lie in your ears. And the lie is, you are alone in this problem. The lie is, he has left you to fend for yourself. Let me tell you, a good shepherd wouldn't bring you. The devil can also tell you, a real good shepherd, Jesus can't bring you here. When our father left us 9 children on the roadside with a mother who was a refugee, Tutsi from Rwanda, who had only survived genocide, lost all her family members, married to a man who has now abandoned her with children on the roadside. And the devil told us so many lies. "You are now alone. It is finished. He has left you to fend yourself." And we were hearing, if it was a good Lord, he will never leave you here. The more lies you listen, the more you can completely be crushed. But the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, "Resist the devil, for he will do what? Flee from you." The Bible does not say assist the devil. It says what? Resist the devil. So tell somebody near you, resist the devil. Don't assist the devil. Shout it loudly. Resist the devil. Don't assist. And there are so many Christians, instead of resisting, they are assisting. When you listen to the lies of the devil, you are assisting. "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you," James 4:8 says. The journey will be much more bearable if we walk beside the shepherd. Instead of pounding 10 steps behind him. And I like what Moses said when God asked him in Exodus chapter 33. He said, "Lord, I need your presence. And if your presence will go with us up to the promised land, that will be terrific." God said, "Okay, I'm going to give you my angel. He's going to go ahead of you." Moses said, "No, I don't want a substitute." And there are so many Christians today who have gone with substitutes. And they have led them nowhere. Moses said, "We need your presence." And Moses demonstrated by saying, if you don't go with us, we are not going. Shout it loudly. If you don't go with us, we are not going. Can you imagine you are telling God, giving God a command? But for the first time in the history of the world, God obeyed the voice of man. He said, I will go with you. Give a big hand clap to the Lord. I will go with you, Moses. I'm not sending an angel. My presence is going with you. During that day, I am going to be a cloud, and you will see me. During the night, I'm going to be a pillar of light. You will see me. And God fulfilled his promise. Shout it loudly. And God fulfilled his promise. For 40 years, the cloud was there, and for 40 years, the light was there. Our God is a God who fulfills his promise. And because of the presence of God, they were able to move from Egypt up to the promised land. So his presence should be your priority. Shout it loudly. His presence should be your priority, my priority, when you are walking through the valley. And Moses also told God, he said, God, you have asked me, let me also ask you. God said, now what? You have asked for my presence, I have given it to you. What else? Moses went for more. Shout it loudly. Moses went for more. He said, Lord, I want to see your glory. Shout it loudly. Lord, I want to see your glory. A bit louder. Lord, I want to see your glory. God said, this is very, very tough, Moses. Nobody has ever seen me and lived. Then God said, but, can you shout it loudly? But, there is a rock. There is a rock on the mountain. The rock I trust. If you come and hide in the rock down there, it has some cracks somewhere, you will see me. And that rock was Jesus Christ. Shout it loudly. That rock was Jesus Christ. A bit louder. That rock was Jesus Christ. When you hide in Jesus Christ, you will see his glory. And indeed, when Moses went up there, he was hiding in that rock. When God was passing by, he saw his back and he saw the glory of God. And when he came out from the mountain, behold, he was filled with glory. And it was too much glory that later on when you read, God said, okay, I'm going to take part of your glory and give it to 72 elders. It was too much glory. What does that mean? That means that God wants his presence to be in our hearts. And glory deals with light. So when the presence of God is inside of you, then you reflect his glory. Shout it loudly. You reflect his glory. A bit louder. You reflect his glory. So we are not only called to enjoy the presence of God, but we are also called to reflect the glory of God. And that's what your bishop has been telling you for years. That Christ, when he's inside of you, he works through you. And the nations of the world shall be blessed. Amen. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, my brothers and sisters, once the presence of God is inside of you, don't limit your potential. You are carrying a weapon of mass destruction. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Shout it loudly. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So each one of you has a deposit inside of you that is so powerful. And so when Christ is inside of you, you are unstoppable, unshakable, untouchable, and unmatchable. Shout it loudly. You are unstoppable, unshakable, untouchable, and unmatchable. Because the one who is inside of you is greater than the devil who is in the world. Hallelujah. When Christ is inside of you, you need to know that the Lord is with you. So in the valley, draw close to the shepherd. Shout it aloud again. Draw close to the shepherd. So how far are you to the shepherd? If they would measure the distance between you and the shepherd, how close are you to the shepherd? The closer you are to the shepherd, the more glorious you will come out of the valley. Amen.
Amen.
I like Joseph's story from Genesis chapter 37, when God gave him dreams. After chapter 50, one statement that normally encourages my heart. It says, the Lord was with him. Shout it loudly. The Lord was with him. When he was hated by his brothers, the Lord was with him. When he was thrown into a pit, the Lord was with him. When he was sold as a slave, the Lord was with him. When he was falsely accused by that woman, the Lord was with him. When he was thrown in jail and sentenced to death, the Lord was with him. And you know how the story ended. I want you to draw close to the shepherd. I don't know what valley you are going in. Number two, when you are in the valley, talk to the shepherd. Shout it loudly. Talk to the shepherd. Don't only draw close to him, but talk to him. Not all of you will preach. Not all of you will go to Africa. Not all of you will lay hands on the sick and the demons will scream. But all of you are called to pray. You can pray in your bed. You can pray in your garden. You can talk to the shepherd wherever you are. You can even talk to the shepherd in your heart. Talk to the shepherd. And what Billy Graham, I like Billy Graham, one time he was asked why his ministry was very successful. He said on television that my ministry has been very successful for all these years for three things. Number one, prayer. Number two, prayer. Number three, prayer. So if you want to succeed, my brother and sister in the valley, if you want to succeed as a husband or as a wife, if you want to succeed as a worker, wherever you are working, if you want to succeed as a father or mother, number one, prayer. Number two, prayer. Number three, prayer. Because if you walk with somebody and you are not talking, you are walking with the shepherd in the valley, you are not talking. There are some husbands who don't talk to their wives. As if they are dumb. Praise the Lord. When David got in the valley, he stopped talking about God. And he started talking to God. If you read this psalm, he first talked about God. The Lord is my shepherd. I will never, whatever. He leads me. He guides me. He restores me. He was talking about someone. And then when he goes to verse 6, he changes the language. For you are with me. That means he's talking to him. Your rod and your staff comforts me. So the shift that the bishop was talking about, you need to shift also from walking with the shepherd, but also talking to the shepherd. You can imagine a husband and wife not talking. That marriage will be very dangerous. So talk to the shepherd, my brother, my sister. And don't limit your prayers. When you are talking to the shepherd, trust that the Lord is going to help you. When our father dropped us on the roadside, we cried so many tears. It is as if the world had come to an end. I was 6 years old. But now I am coming 60 in September. I was 6 years old and we cried our hearts off. rejection, filled with abandonment, filled with the curse that our Father proclaimed on us. But the Bible says in chapter 14, verse 7, the book of Job, the Bible says that there is hope that when a tree is cut down, it will sprout again. Shout it loudly. It will sprout again. A bit louder. It will sprout again. I don't know whether you have been cut. Talk to the shepherd. He is the power behind the sprouting. And I pray that your tree will sprout again. Now I am here preaching to you. Now I am here sleeping in the bishop's house. Now I am here with 5 children and 2 daughter-in-laws. Now I am here with 5 degrees and a PhD. Now I am here. I am a retired professor, a retired pastor. Now I am here. I have walked through the valley. Talk to the shepherd. Amen. That's even what Jesus did. When he was on the cross, he said, Abba, Father, in Gethsemane. Don't equate darkness with distance. Talk to the shepherd. Number 3, when you are in the valley, treasure hunt. Shout it loudly. Treasure hunt. Recently in Uganda, we discovered oil in the Rift Valley. That oil will last Uganda for 300 years. Too much. It is now on Lake Arubat, floating on the lake. In the valleys of Uganda, that's where diamond is. That's where silver is. That's where oil is. That is where gold is. All of those minerals are always in the valley. Shout it loudly. In the valley. There are so many treasures there. So when you go through a challenge, you know that a treasure is going to come. When I survived suicide, my mother looked into my eyes. She said, my son, don't kill yourself. I want to promise you, God said in Genesis, that through you, the nations of the world shall be blessed. Shout it loudly. Through you, the nations of the world shall be blessed. I had not read that scripture. My mother read it through her mouth, but it rang in my ears for years and years. So when I find myself here in Selma preaching in a very big cathedral, what a great treasure my mother told me, that one day the nations of the world shall be blessed. And they have been blessed. I have been to many, many countries. Peter said, the trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. So I want to encourage you, my brother and my sisters, every trial you go through, it is treasure. When a believer comes through a trial, still trusting the Lord, he is assured that his faith is genuine. And that is what treasure is all about. Amen. So when you are an abandoned child on the Lord's side, 5, 6 years old, and you become a professor, don't you think that that's a big treasure? Amen. Number 4, when you are in the valley, keep walking. Shout it loudly. Keep walking. A bit louder. Keep walking. David didn't say, when I go to the valley. He said, when I walk through. Shout it loudly. Through. A bit louder. Through. Didn't say go to. He said, when I go through the valley, the place of shadows is not a permanent home. Hallelujah. The shadows we meet as this lovely choir was singing, it's not our permanent home. When the darkness closes in and you don't know what else to do, just take another step. Keep walking. Do the next thing. Keep walking. And I want to challenge all of you who are here. Keep walking even if it is with a limp. Shout it loudly. Keep walking even if it is with a limp. Keep walking. Don't limit your place. Don't say, I'm going to stop here. Don't be like a tortoise, which has the anointing of being stuck in one place. I don't want you to get the anointing of a tortoise, which is stuck in one place for years and years. Get the anointing of a gazelle. Run. Keep walking. Tough times come and go, but tough people like you stay. Shout it loudly. Tough times come and go, but tough people like me stay. Keep walking. Faith chooses to survive what it cannot explain. So keep walking. In the name of Jesus. God never did explain the valley to Job, by the way. When you read the book of Job, God never explained the valley. The phrase, the valley of deep darkness, is used 9 times in the book of Job. Job was on the right path with God. He was a faithful shepherd, but he never did understand why God sent him through the valley of deep darkness. Some things we shall ask Jesus when we meet him. Survival grade faith declares, it is not enough to know what I know, the shepherd, and he is guiding me for his name's sake. God wouldn't lead me anywhere if I couldn't bring him glory and me good. There's a verse in Romans. It says, everything we go through is for the good for those who love and trust him. This is what we call suicidal faith, which I learned from your bishop. Suicidal faith, which says, if I perish, I do what? I perish, but I will go to the king. Esther chapter 4, verse 6. So keep walking. There is a better place. Shout it loudly. Keep walking, for there is a better place. After the valley, you always go to the mountain. Hallelujah. Number 5, when you are in the valley, praise him through the valley. Shout it loudly. Praise him through the valley. A bit louder. Praise him through the valley. I was blessed by the praise and worship I had here. But it began last night in the bishop's house. I woke up singing. I fell on the floor, I prostrated on the floor in that guest house, crying and singing to God in my language. I come here when the worship began, oh my goodness, tears started falling through my eyes. I couldn't keep seated here. I came before the altar and so many tears came out as these songs were singing. And as I cried to God, I said, God, tell me what can move your heart. I am ready to do it. That was a very powerful thing. And some of you know Redman, one of the good singers. He wrote a song after 9/11, but he had also lost his son. You know what he said. You know what he says when he says, if I go through the valleys, I will still praise him. Sometimes God needs to hear our voice in the valley. So praise him in the middle of the storm. Many people in America fear tornadoes and hurricanes. Once they announce, people start running. But when the storm comes, sing a song of praise. When the bishop was telling me about Paul and Silas in jail at midnight, the word midnight means it was very, very, very dark and they were going to be executed. They sang a song of praise. What happened? was the angel came and released them. And the head of the prison gave his life to Jesus and his family. And the Romans had imprisoned Paul for faith. They didn't know that God would catch a big fish. So through praise and worship in jail, a big fish, one of the big, strong Roman soldiers, got saved. And his family got saved. And God used that Roman officer to preach the gospel to other Roman officers. And revival began. It has been moving and moving and moving and moving. Hallelujah! So the devil said, okay, I kill you. You have killed Stephen. I am going to save Paul. You have imprisoned Paul. Let him sing a song of praise. And the jailer was saved and he became a great evangelist. This young man said, praise returned to my eyes to the Savior, and slowly my voice fully returned. Even when the towers were crumbling, his face returned and his voice was done. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Number 8, when you are in the valley, be resilient in the valley. Shout it loudly. Be resilient in the valley. Because the valley has so many things. If you are not resilient, you are kindly going to miss the point. Resilience is a very important thing. Be resilient like an eagle. We have huge eagles in Uganda. When these eagles, when it is raining and there is a storm, you think they are going to hide. It is when they raise their wings and fly. So be resilient. Hold on to your dream through the valley. Don't lose your dream in the valley. Be resilient. My resilience as an abandoned child, when my sister at 15 years old asked me to go back to school, to start school, I accepted to go back to school. I studied with small children of 4 years, 5 years. They used to say, how are you, uncle? How are you, grandpa? The teachers bullied me. The children bullied me. But I was resilient. I knew that education would take me somewhere. When I was joining high school, the soldiers of Idi Amin, they came. People hired them. They killed my sister. 8 bullets in one person. She was suckling a child of 8 months. They didn't kill the baby girl. We found the girl was suckling a dead mother in a pool of blood. I didn't go to school. I spent a year at home because when my sponsor, my sister, was killed, I stopped. I went back a year later after my sisters and my mother worked so hard. And I went back to school after 1 year at home. I am now here, a professor, a doctor, one of the most educated people. Tell somebody near you, be resilient in the valley. Yes, resilience is a very important thing. Most of us here, sorry to mention this, I went in a train. People were complaining about water, complaining about health, complaining about what. And I got angry, I said, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You Americans, if you'd come to Uganda and see people walking 20 miles to get water, for you, you are just having a bath in your bathroom is like a swimming pool. I saw a swimming pool at the bishop's house. Water is everywhere. Your roads are the best in the world. Your health system is the best. If you come and see our Hell systems, you would shut up. Tell somebody near you, shut up. Instead of complaining, even your leaders are much better. I was in one of the buses, and people were complaining about Joe Biden. He has done this, he has done that. He has only ruled for 2 years. Our president has ruled for 38 years. Now, if your leader was to lead you for 38 years, there are only four he's about to go. Don't complain a lot. Come to Uganda, 38 years. Tell somebody now, be resilient in the valley. Number seven, remember to trust his promise. Tell somebody near you, trust his promise in the valley. Trust his promise in the valley. When you are in the valley and it is dark, when you are in the valley and the shadow is overwhelming you, remember his promise that he said, I will never leave you. David says, he promised that he will lead us to still waters. Some of you may be in troubled waters, but the promise is still waters. He will prepare a table in front of my enemies. Even if you are now having challenges, remember there is a table waiting for you. Hallelujah. He says, he promised that our cups will be full to overflowing and running over. That is his promise. And he will fulfill it. He took the people of Israel from Egypt, which was a land of not enough. Shout it loudly. A land of not enough. And through the wilderness, he gave them a meal for 1 day. It was 1 day at a time. That was a land of just enough. Shout it loudly. A land of just enough. But when he took them to the land of Canaan, he took them to a land of more than enough. Shout it loudly. A land of more than enough. And I want to challenge all of you. Trust his promise. He's not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. Nor is he a son of man that he should change his mind. He promised to bless us and he will never withdraw his blessing. He promised, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And he promised that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. So don't budget for hell. Shout it loudly. Don't budget for hell. Hell was not meant for you. It was for the devil and his angels. Our promise is we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Don't budget for hell. Remove it from your budget. Number eight, be firm in the valley. Shout it loudly. Be firm in the valley. A bit louder. Be firm. So many times when we are in the valley, we shake. Don't be intimidated by the valley. He said, I will fear no evil, for his rod and his staff comforts me. So stay firm in the valley and hold on to your dream. When the devil thinks it is winning, your bishop told me, I caught him now. When the devil thinks it is winning, it is when God shows that he's advancing his kingdom. Hallelujah. Yeah. When the devil seems as if he's winning, last minute is when God shows up. Like in the times of Esther, and he advances his kingdom. Hallelujah. When my father was leaving me on the roadside, did he know he was leaving a professor of Chambogo University? No. Did he know he was abandoning the husband of Miss Uganda 1991? No. Did he know that he was abandoning a preacher of the gospel? No. But God knows the end from the beginning. Shout it loudly. God knows the end from the beginning. God knew that one time I would be in Selma here. So, my brothers and sisters, when you are in the valley, number 9, be focused in the valley. Shout it loudly. Be focused in the valley. When you are in the valley, you need to be focused on the shepherd. He will lead you out of the valley to the mountain and to green pastures. David says, he leads me to green pastures and still waters. Be focused. Like the people of Israel, when they were crossing the Jordan, the Lord told them, look at the ark. Focus on the ark. You will cross over. And when they focused on the ark, the river opened the door for the ark of God. Don't be like Peter when he was walking on water, focusing on Jesus. Then he turned and started focusing on his friends and saying, see what a miraculous person I am now. When he focused on the waves, what happened? He started sinking. Tell somebody near you, focus on the shepherd. And finally, number 10, when you are in the valley, be anointed by the shepherd. Shout it loudly. Be anointed by the shepherd. It's very, very important. I lived for many years as an Anglican preaching. I lived as a very faithful Anglican until one day when I went to the university. I was fighting against anything charismatic, like many Episcopalians do. I was fighting against the men and women of God. I thought they were heretic. I thought they were faking things. Until one day when I was at Makerere University, and I asked my roommate, who was praying for longer than me, 5 minutes, my words will run out. For him, he was praying for 1 hour, 2 hours. I said, where do you get the words? And this young man, he said, one day when you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, you will pray for even 5 hours. I said, what? Then he gave me a verse in Acts chapter 19, from verse 1 to verse 5. He said, go and read this verse and think about it. I read it. This man called Paul went to visit a church in Ephesus. It was planted by Apollos. When he reached there, it seems he found that they were singing dry songs and preaching dry sermons and praying dry prayers. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Shout it loudly. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I said, what? And then they were honest. They said, who is the Holy Spirit? Is it a tree? Is it a person? Is it, who is that? We have never heard. And then he talked to them about the Holy Spirit. He prayed for them. The Bible says they were all. Shout it loudly. They were all. The word all is very important. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And they started speaking in tongues. My pride as an Anglican melted like ice. My religion melted like ice. And I remember I prayed in my heart. I said, God, I don't want anybody to pray for me, but I want this, if it is true, let it happen to me. David said, he anoints me with oil, and my cup is full and running over. In chapter 23, verse 5. In Israel, shepherds were anointed the sheep because they wanted to protect them from snake bites. Because snakes fear and they are chased away by the smell of oil. So the snakes, the demons in the valley will flee from you when you are anointed. Isaiah declared in chapter 10 of Isaiah, verse 27, the anointing breaks the yoke. So one day we organized a big university mission. I was one of the leaders, organizers, Anglican chapel, and I was so surprised. I was leading a choir on the stage like here. The Holy Spirit descended upon me. I fell down. I started rolling like a pig on the floor, and there were about 3,000 students in the main hall. Bishop Festo Tivengere and all those who were there, great preachers. I tried to come up, I fell down. I tried the second time, I fell down. I tried the third time, it was holy chaos. The whole praise and worship was chaotic. I asked, one of the doctors thought I was suffering from epilepsy, but I asked God, I said, God, help me out of this place. I ran out of this chapel. I stood up and ran. Outside the chapel, there was a mango tree. I fell down at 9 p.m. I started speaking in tongues. I had never spoken in tongues. I was a crusader against speaking in tongues. I spoke in tongues for 3 hours, non-stop. I would even touch my lips. The tongues would still come. It was chaos. That is when the revival fire caught me, and I have never, ever been the same again. Never, ever been the same again. The following morning, I didn't go for lectures. The power was still so great. I had a choir singing, an orchestra, singing outside our residence where the students were sleeping. And they were singing in melody, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It was so nice. I jumped out of my bed. I opened the windows, curtain, to see this choir. They were not there. In a few seconds, I heard them in the corridor of our hall of residence. There were rooms here and rooms here. It was open. I jumped up. I said, let me go and open the door before they go away. Before I reached the door swung open. I had never seen angels in my life. 12 angels came into my room, and they were with our Savior. When he looked into my eyes, something like electricity went through my body. I ran under the bed to hide. I could see him. Whenever I would turn this way, I would see him. I turned this way, I would see him. I pushed my head down flat, I would see him. I had never seen such an experience. And I thank God he spoke to me. Shout it loudly, he spoke to me. And that is why where I am now. The Lord spoke to me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He called me. He affirmed my calling. And he told me, it was 1987, he told me that he was going to bless me and bless the nations of the world through me. And here am I. I'd never traveled in any country. I have never been the same. I started a movement of younger people filled with the Holy Spirit. And we started moving. We became troublemakers. I was thrown out of my diocese. I came to Kampala in exile. I was going to be ordained. They stopped me that I was too charismatic. I went to a seminary. They refused to ordain me. Even when I was going to be ordained in Kampala, they sent a team to stop me. They stopped me at 8:30 p.m. when I was being ordained the next morning. Let me tell you, the anointing will make a difference in your life. The anointing made a difference in my life, in my ministry, in schools, in governments, everywhere I have been going, the Lord has been healing people, and I have seen hundreds and hundreds of people healed. I have seen hundreds and hundreds of demons screaming and leaving people. I have seen women who had not given birth for 20 years, 15 years, giving birth. I have seen God even raising a student of one of the high schools. I have seen the name of the Lord being glorified because of the anointing. And I want to end by saying, you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need the anointing as a person. It will break every yoke. It will empower you for ministry. You need the anointing as a church. This church can be moved powerfully by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need him. Don't be like a gun without bullets. Don't be like a refrigerator without being plugged in. Plug into Jesus and he will saturate you. So you need a saturation anointing. It is like precious oil placed on the head of Aaron, running down the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garment. Psalms 133. Verse 2, you need that saturation anointing. There is a need today for a drenching, a saturating anointing. We need a bigger anointing that will bring Jesus Christ back. But also, my brothers and sisters, I know this church has been visited by God. You also need a fresh anointing. Shout it loudly. Fresh anointing. A bit louder. Fresh anointing. We've got to make sure the anointing is still fresh. The church has become routine. A fresh anointing makes a difference in your prayer, a difference in your praise, a difference in your spirit, a difference in your house, a difference in your church, a difference even in your government. God, give us a fresh anointing. Shout it loudly. God, give us a fresh anointing. You need an anointing of wisdom and favor, like that of Esther. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Anointing gives you direction. You need wisdom and favor anointing. The anointing also brings a spirit of favor. Like Esther got favor. Mordecai got favor. The anointing makes a big difference. May the Lord bless you abundantly and exceedingly as you think about the valley you are in. You are not alone. The shepherd is available to walk with you. Amen. Amen.